I pray. For those of you that weren't here during the reading of the scripture, we're going to be in John chapter 14, verses 15, I believe, through 21. And we'll be in a couple other verses too. But what I want to do is I want to do something different. Those of you that have paper, just take out a small piece. Just enough to be able to write a couple things on. And those of you that don't have paper, I'm going to have my little helper pass out to you some paper.
Amen.
That's my little helper. She's going to pass out to you some paper. And what I want you to do when you get it is not necessarily for writing notes.
Amen.
What I want you to do is at the top of the paper, I want you to write what I want that I've stopped praying for.
Amen.
What I've been wanting that I stopped praying for. They need some too, baby. And I want you to put what that is under it. And then give yourself some space down below that. And I want you to put what's keeping me from having it.
Wow.
And then I want you to put up under that what you believe in your spirit is hindering you from receiving what you've been asking God for.
Amen.
And I'm going to cover myself in prayer while you're doing it. And I just ask for you to agree with me in your hearts. Dear Father God, I thank you for allowing me the opportunity to deliver your word. I thank you for making me a willing vessel to receive your word. Now, Lord, I ask that you remove all of me, Father God, and let your word speak through me to your people. Lord God, I ask that you allow every hindrance, every distraction, every fear, every objection to leave now in the name of Jesus. And allow your Holy Spirit to transcend and transform every single being in this place to receive of your word today. Lord, anoint me, endow me, Father God, with the power and authority of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And the Lord's redeemed say, amen.
Amen.
Y'all got it down? There is a method to why I've asked you to do it.
Amen.
Just trust what God is doing and bear with me.
Trust.
Let's go to John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. When you get there, just say amen so I know that you're there. Chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. We there?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. It says, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. So I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accepted my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Now that is just the precursor of where we're going. I want you to keep that in your mind, but God has shown me and prepared for this word the nature of our hearts.
Amen.
He has shown me where some of us have been, where we are, and maybe not willing to admit in public right now.
Amen.
So what I want to tell you is that as I was preparing, I said to myself, I wasn't even really praying, but it was in my heart. I was coming in the house. And I said to God, I don't want information.
Amen.
Because information can be changed. But I want revelation because revelation is unchangeable. Revelation never changed regardless of your situation. The revelation is still real. So I asked God to give me revelation for his people this morning. And the Lord told me, he said, no more delay. I don't know what you've been asking God for, but it's something that you've been seeking Him for, that you've been tired of waiting on, and you've been asking God, where are you? And you have a certain nature in your heart that we're going to talk about, and God is saying, no more delay.
Amen.
For those of you that wanted a rhema word from the Lord, you got it this morning. It's already in the house. He prepared me to bring it to you this day, no more delay. I don't know about you, but I needed to hear no more delay. I've been waiting in the midnight hour. I needed to hear that God said, no more delay. God said, then after He said that to me, He said, I am ready to do what everybody else can't do for you.
Amen.
See, I don't know if I'm in the right place.
Amen.
Because when God said that to me,
amen,
I was off my feet in the room. He said, I am ready to do for you what nobody else can.
Amen.
So this word this morning is a rhema word from the Lord to speak to your spirit. And what I'm asking you to do is to be willing and able to receive it completely.
Amen.
I want whatever hindrances in your mind to just fall off now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever distraction is in your mind, I want it to fall off now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Any obstacle in a demon that tells you can't have it, I rebuke you now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God has said that you shall have that which He has redeemed. And the redeemed of the Lord is in this place.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
If you're ready to receive, say amen.
Amen.
Now, can I give y'all a little bit of a punch right quick before we get to the good stuff? I just want to tell you where God is saying this is the nature of our hearts. Some of us, some of you may not be there, but bear with us. Go to Job 21. And when you get there, just say amen. And I'm just going to point out a couple of things. I won't read the whole chapter. We there?
Amen.
Job is responding to one of his friends that have given him an answer of why things are happening in his life. And in my version, I highlighted a couple things that stood out to me as things that were in my heart.
Right.
And the Lord has said that those are things also that may be in some of your hearts.
Amen.
The first thing was verse 2, where it said, listen closely to what I'm saying. That's one consolation you can give me. You know when you're going through, sometimes you don't want everybody to call you with a scripture? Because you know the word of God, right? But you just want somebody to listen to you. So in other words, he was saying, shut your mouth, just hear me. Just hear what I'm saying. Just hear my pain. Let me express to you what I'm going through. Right? Then he said, my complaint is with God, not with people. I have good reason to be so impatient. Look at me and be stunned. Now, some of us don't want to admit that. But our complaint isn't whether or not we have faith, whether or not pastors praying for me, whether or not anyone has laid hands on me. Our complaint is against God. When we have asked Him, why haven't you moved yet? And we're frustrated and we can't seem to understand why He hasn't moved on our behalf, but we look around and we see so-and-so have this and this and that, and we have been following the word of God, yet we are still waiting for God to move. That's an odd against God.
Uh-huh.
We don't want to admit it, but some of us are there. I'll be the first to admit that when I read that, I'm like, I need to repent, because yes, God, that's me. Yes, God, I am upset and quite stunned that you haven't moved yet on our behalf. In my mind, the physical of it has not happened, but the spirit has already said it's done. And I'm ready for the physical to manifest itself. And I'm not understanding, God, why am I still coming to you in this kind of capacity? Some of us are there. It said, put your hand over your mouth and shout. When I think about what I'm saying, I shudder and I'm troubled, because we feel like we can't be angry with God. You know, if we said, oh, there's something wrong with her. Oh, she's not really saved and sanctified because she's angry with God. Who is she to be angry with God? Yes, that's God's response to us, but God can handle our anger.
Amen.
And He can handle our disappointment. And He doesn't ask us to hide it. He asks us to be real with Him and let Him know, yes, God, I am angry with you.
Amen.
But we don't want to admit it to ourselves. And so then he asked the question to his friend, why do the wicked prosper, growing old and powerful? They live to see their children grow up and settle down, and they enjoy their grandchildren. Their homes are safe from every fear, and God does not punish them. Their bulls never fail to breed. Their cows bear calves and never miscarry. They let their children frisk about like lambs. Their little ones skip and dance. They sing with tambourines and harps. They celebrate to the sound of the flute. They spend their days in prosperity, then go down to the grave in peace. And yet, they say God to God, go away, we want no part of you and your ways. When you're looking at other people prospering and you know you're doing what the Lord said for you to do, you're living in relationship with God, because it's not about all the commandments that you can follow. It's about the relationship that you've established with the Lord, thy God. And you're living this life, and you're walking and you're talking, and there's no compromising to you. And then you look and you see your whole household going through, and your family going through, and your church members going through, and your friends going through. And then you look and see those that have no regard for God, and they rolling around and Bentleys and Escalades, house not seeming contempered at all, marriage fully intact, full of health, nothing going on, no strife, no worry, no wonder. Everything seems great in their household. And you're looking at them like, God, hold on.
Right.
There's something wrong with this situation.
Amen.
And then he said, who is the Almighty and why should we obey him? What good will it do us to pray? Have y'all ever gotten there? What good is it to still pray?
Amen.
I assume that y'all have, because this little paper has something on it, don't it? There was something that you've been asking God for that you stopped asking him for because it just hadn't come to pass. And maybe years and years and you still haven't seen it. And you have asked this question, what good will it do us to pray? I haven't seen no breakthrough in this area. He said, but they think their prosperity is of their doing. But I'm not of that mindset. We have enough sense to know that we know we ain't prospering because of ourselves. We know we're prospering because of the Lord. So we haven't got that crazy in some of our contempt towards God. But we were crazy enough to say, you got all these other people prospering that are wicked, and you got me over here going through some things.
Yeah.
And then he asked, but who can teach a lesson to God, since he judges even the most powerful? One person dies in prosperity, completely comfortable and secure, the picture of good health, vigorous and fit. Another person dies in bitter poverty, never having tasted the good life. But both are buried in the same dust, both eating by the same maggots. Evil people are spared in times of calamity and are allowed to escape disaster. No one criticizes them openly or pays them back for what they have done. So evil can do evil and it's all acceptable. But as soon as one Christian brother falls in the eyes of the world, oh, you ain't really saved, you don't really walk right, you don't talk like you need to. Everything that you did for God is obsolete. This is what he's talking about. He said, how can your empty cliches come from me? All your explanations are lies.
Amen.
When you get to a place that you are so hurt that nothing can comfort you, no word can soothe you, no cliche. You know, we always talk about God is good and he's working on your behalf. He has it. It's all under control. You are healed by his stripes. You are healed. And that's all you can hear. But you get to a point where it doesn't work. That's not helping you. You need another reality. You know that's real, but it's not reaching you. What do? When it's not reaching you, God has said that he took me to Job 21 because that is the nature of our hearts. It's someplace in that scripture where you can identify yourself. There's someplace in that scripture where you have said to God, why this? Why that? Where are you? Nothing is working. I'm not comforted. And people, please shut up. You're there. You're there. But God has sent a rhema word to you this morning where he said, no more delay. Where he said, I'm ready to do for you what nobody else can do. So you put on that piece of paper one thing. The one thing you've been praying to God for that you haven't seen manifest itself yet that you want God to do for you today. And before the end of this service, We're going to collect those pieces of paper. We're not going to read them. We're going to put them in the basket. We're going to bring them to the altar. We're going to believe and agree in faith that God said that this is so, and we're going to believe that it has happened because His word has met you. The provision has already come. We've already talked about faith. But Pastor talked about in his prayer of faith, the faith of this church. The faith of this church has to take us to another level. Yeah. This is the fight. This is the foundation of your next level. God is saying that I'm going to do this thing, and it's according to your faith.
Amen.
Let's go to one more thing before we get into this word. Let's go to Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. The parable of the persistent widow. Are we there?
Amen.
One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city. He said, "Who neither feared God nor cared about people." A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find in the earth who have faith?"
Amen.
Job, it said he was a just man. It said that he never lost the love and honor of God. Said that he went through the trial successfully, although he felt everything that he felt. But in that prayer, not necessarily the prayer, but in that conversation, did it sound like he was losing heart a little bit? He didn't lose faith.
Amen.
But he was losing heart. There's a difference. It seemed like he was losing heart. And when we're going through a kind of situation that we've been going through, we can lose heart. We lose heart because it's just so easy to lose heart. When you're waiting, it's hard to keep the faith. When you're waiting, it's hard to continuously believe that God has heard your prayer. And at one point, you begin to think that God has not given you power in your prayer for these things to come to pass.
That's right.
You begin to lose heart. God wants to talk to your heart this morning. He said, I see this. It may be hidden in some areas. But don't lose heart because he has come for you this morning.
Amen.
He said that he is doing a new thing in your life. He said that the promise is not delayed. So when we go back to John 14, I want to talk to you about what he said in that reference. He talked about the Lord saying that those that follow my command. So what does he mean? Is he talking about the law? He's not talking about the law. When he's talking about my command, he's talking about what Jesus' example was when he came to this earth. He was saying, "Love thy God, thy Father, love thy neighbor." And then he was saying, basically, have relationship with me. And if you know me, then you know the Father. And if you heard my words, then you've heard the Father. So in other words, when he said that you that love me, I will come to you and reveal myself. What stood out was the word reveal.
Amen.
Reveal means to manifest.
Amen.
And manifest in the Greek means emphanizo. What's the significance of that? Emphanizo means three things in a verb tense. And it's going to tie all of this together. It's a future tense, meaning it's a certain occurrence that will happen. It's for sure. that this is going to happen. It also is an active voice, meaning that you're not going to do it, but I'm going to do it. So when he said that I will reveal myself, it's that he will reveal himself. It's not what you're going to do to cause me to reveal myself. It's that I'm going to reveal myself to you. All of the action, all of the active voice is what he's going to do for you. And then it's a mood indicator. So what is that, a mood indicator? It's just simply stating fact. It's just fact. Whatever God says, it is. So when he says that I will reveal myself, it's certain to occur. I'm actively doing it, and what I say is fact.
Yes.
Amen.
I don't think I'm talking to the right. He says that I'm doing it, and what I say will happen. And it's fact.
Yes.
What's on your paper?
Okay.
Is it something that God has told you will happen, will occur?
Amen.
Is it something that you heard as a promise from the Lord that this is going to happen in your life? He said, if I command you and you love me and you follow my commands and you're in relationship with me, then I will reveal myself to you. But in other words, if Jesus is God, in human flesh, right? And God is Jesus, then who is revealing himself to you? So you've been asking for God to show up in that thing in your paper. You've been asking for God to be present in your current situation. And Jesus is saying, if you would just get in right relationship with me, then when you see me, there is God being revealed in your situation. So he's saying that God sent him to build the relationship between you and him so that when you see him, I'm already active in your situation. So that everything that you need, that occurrence that you want to be sure, that revelation that you've had will come and it will be stated fact for you. So what he said is in the word, God said, but Jesus came what? For what? That we will have life and life more abundantly, right? And that's a promise. Right? And then he had other promises in Deuteronomy 28, right? That our land will be fertile, right? We don't have the overflow. And we would have everything that we desire. But all of that is the aftermath of the full promise. The full promise is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I don't think y'all understand it. See, when he said that I'm going to come so that you can have a relationship restored, because Adam and Eve broke that for you. So when the relationship was restored, Jesus was the promise. And everything that is within Jesus is all sufficient. So everything that is all sufficient is complete. So every desire and need that you want, that you can even think of, he already met in the promise. So when he came to the cross and he died, it was done and complete then. So the things that you've been asking God for on that paper was already given to you due to the relationship, because I said before, you accepted that first invitation. So when you accepted that first invitation, on the cross lied your healing. On the cross lied your blessing. On the cross lied your marriage. On the cross lied the resurrection and the healing and the deliverance of your children, of your family, of your loved one. Everything was there. All of the promise was wrapped in him. When Jesus reveals himself to you, the promise has come to fruition. The promise has come in your situation. So if there is something that you are experiencing, but you have not seen him operate and manifest in the way that you want him to, ask yourself, where is your focus, and have you really invited him in?
All right. Amen.
I have to just say this from in the spirit. God said that a lot of us have been on our knees praying, but we haven't really asked him to come in.
Say that.
A lot of us have been on our knees asking, God, when are you? How are you? And where are you? But in your heart and in your mind, you have plan A, B, and C about how you're going to do it. He's saying to me right now, that when you humbled yourself before him, it was a false humility. Because you really didn't expect him to show up in what you asked him for. Because you really thought it was too much for him to really do for you, because you're not so powerful and faithful to God that he won't do it for you. So you have already made up your mind before you got down there that he hasn't done it. But God said when he sent this word that he has come to reveal it to you, that you have it. That I'm doing the action. So if I'm doing the revealing, then what more do you need to do?
Amen.
If you already accepted the first invitation, what more do you really need to do? There's nothing more for you to do. When you get on that ground and you ask him, just ask him to show up. Don't try to tell him how. Don't try to tell him when. You can be specific, but God already knows it. So when you're asking for the promise to be revealed, make sure you're including him.
Yes.
And then he says that we're asking the question of, is God really listening? In Romans 5:16, he promised that we will have that promise that we ask for by faith. But we act like he's not listening. The judge the parable I read to you about the widow, the persistent widow, she didn't care if the judge was listening to her or not. She had a problem with her enemy, and she went to who she thought had the authority to deliver her from it. But what she found was that in her persistence and her faith, God showed up and moved an unjust judge to move in her situation. You don't have an unjust judge. Your judge is just. Your judge is righteous. Your judge is looking for an opportunity to bless you. So when you ask him, is he listening, you're coming to him as if he's an unjust judge that doesn't care about your situation. But God is saying that I'm a just judge. I care about your situation. In fact, in Isaiah it says this, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. It said, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he buried them and carried them all the days of old. That sounds like as you're crying, he's crying. As you're bent over, he's bent over. As you're hurting, he's hurting. As you're wondering, he's hoping and praying that whatever that perfection that is needed to be perfected in you will come to pass in your life so that I can move speedily in your situation. He's saying that I'm ready to do any and everything that you think anyone else can't do for you. I'm ready. I'm a just God. I'm a just judge. I want to help you. I want to get you past this hurdle. But you have to have faith that I want to do it. You have to have faith that I am listening, that I have heard your cry. You have to have faith that in all things that I chose you to be redeemed unto me, to reveal myself so that you can have the promise.
Yes.
In Luke 18:7 says, and will not our just God defend and protect and avenge his elect, his chosen ones, who cry to him day and night? Will he, A, differ from them, or B, delay help on their behalf?
Yes, Lord.
The title of the sermon was, no more delay. If the delay comes, it's because you didn't believe it.
Amen.
The word if is in the Bible over 1,716 times. There is a contingency. If, then this. If, then that. It's not about your salvation. It's about what all you want out of this salvation. What all you want out of this abundant life. What do you want? What's on your paper? All right. If you receive, then you will have no more delay.
Amen.
If you have faith, then you will have no more delay.
Hallelujah.
If you will believe me, then you will have no more delay.
All right.
If you can sustain and endure, then you will have no delay.
Yeah.
If you can believe that I will show up in Little Bitty Canita, then you will have no more delay.
Amen.
If you will believe that in this small congregation, revelation that there is power in signs and miracles, you will have no delay. If you are ready to go to that next level, you won't have any delay. God has said that this day is the day that you will see the glory of God redeemed in your life. If you will let me reveal myself in your situation, there will be no more delay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can receive the promise.
Yeah.
Now, maybe some of you in here that may be saying, I haven't lived my life right. Can I still receive the promise?
Yes, Lord.
I've been doing some things wrong. Can I still receive the promise?
Yeah.
Romans speaks to you. Romans 5:14 says, if God's promise is only for those who obey the law, the faith is not necessary and the promise is pointless. I just explained to you who the promise was.
Amen.
The promise is Jesus.
Amen.
The promise and all that's wrapped up in it is Jesus.
Amen.
You don't have to have obeyed everything that you read in this law. Law brings forth condemnation. It brings forth depression because I have not met everything. But Jesus came, God sent him so that you wouldn't have to meet everything. But if you would just abide in the shelter of the Almighty, then everything will be given to you. Yes, you do have to have a standard. You can't just run around here a month and say that I love the Lord and decide that you're not going to serve the Lord. That's not what he's saying. He said, if you're truly in me, then I will do a change, because I'm an active word. And said I'm an active voice. I will do a change in you, and the desires you used to have will fall off. The shackles that used to be on you will come loose. Those thoughts that you used to have will be no more. And before you know it, you'll be sounding like them holy rollers you've been looking at. You'll be thinking about those things that them holy rollers want to do. I want to go to Bible study. I want to go to church. Not because nobody told you to, but because I love God so much that I want to be in that presence.
Yeah.
So yes, it's available to you if you receive him.
Amen.
So for you, for what you have on that paper, all you need to do is exchange your hand for his hand and say, Lord, place my hand in your right hand, because the Bible says nothing can be plucked out of his hand. And save my wretched soul, because I am yet a sinner. And I do believe that you are God, and I do desire for you to come into my heart and make all things new and take off some of this crud that's all in my soul and all in my spirit, so that you can renew me and make me transformed, so that this thing that's on my paper can come to pass.
Amen.
God desires for even you to receive the promise. So what is it that God is asking us to do today? He's asking you to have faith.
That's right.
That he is, has been, and is to come. That he is the promise, the way, the truth, and the light.
Yes.
There are several times the Lord has said, if I did not say it, if it were not so, I would not say it.
Say that.
Right.
If it was not so, I wouldn't say it.
Right.
Then he said, and he also said, but I tell you the truth.
Yes.
How many times has he said, but I tell you the truth? Jesus is saying, I will not deceive you. I am not a God that will or can lie.
Amen. Right.
I'm not trying to have you go through life unpurposely. I'm not trying to hurt you in such a way that you don't believe that I care. He's saying that I just desire for you to have faith that I want what's good for you.
Yeah.
And I want you to desire what's good for you that you don't even know is good for you. All the things that you think is good for you, you haven't even scratched the surface of what he has for you. He's saying that if you will allow him to heal, the disappointment, the depression, the hurt, the anger, all that the enemy has used to destroy your faith. If you allow him to heal it, he's saying that joy will come to you because I leave a peace that no man can understand. I leave a peace that the world cannot give you. That's it. If you will let him come in, heal, deliver, renew, restore, and redirect your faith so that you don't have the heart of Job, but that you understand who he is. Because the whole point of the judge in the parable was for you to see that if this unjust judge could deliver a just verdict because she got on his nerve, then your persistence can impact a just judge so much more greater than it impacts somebody that don't even care about you. God cares about you so much that if you would just come and believe that he is, that I'm not here not to give you things, to just hold on to everything on my throne and just sit and harbor it and not give it to you. That's not who I am. And if you know me, if you know my son, and you know my word, then you should know my character. That's not who I am. Who I am is a God that wants to do whatever it is that you desire for me to do, that no one else can do today.
Amen.
Some of us, and then I'm going to a close, there has been a shift in the spirit for you where you have already been granted what you asked for.
Amen.
But the reason why it's in the second heaven and it hasn't penetrated to the earth is because you have rejected the man of God or woman of God that has sent the word of your deliverance.
My Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, wow.
I can't make this up. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I'm just telling you what the Lord has said. He said that a lot of people, there were a lot of widows in Israel. Mm-hmm. When Elijah was going forth to the widows in Samaria, he said it was a lot of widows in Israel. But why didn't they receive the fullness of the miracle? Why didn't they receive the provision? They didn't receive it because they rejected him.
Amen.
They didn't receive the prophet of their own land. The Lord said, don't reject his word through his ministers. He has called them, even if you see them as flawed, even if you see they don't have all of everything together in their own life, even if you see they're going through things, that has nothing to do with what God has called them to do. And if the word of God is in their belly, then you better receive it, because they're not even speaking of themselves. When they're up here, it is the Spirit of God that should be leading them, guiding them, and speaking directly to you and your heart about your situation. So don't reject the word of God because you can't receive the vessel. There is something on your paper. Kenita is not going to bring it to pass. Kenita just told you to write it because a God, a just judge, wants to bring it to pass.
Amen.
And I pray to God that you don't reject the messenger, because the word of God is available for you today, and the blessing and the promise is right there for you. Don't reject the messenger and not receive what God has for you.
Amen.
It's not about my faith. It's not about what I'm going through in my household. It's not about whether or not we see Dion healed and all of this today. It's about what God has for you.
Amen.
And what he wants to do for you. And the fact that in all of my struggle and trial and tribulation, that he sent me here to get up in my pain and preach this word of God to you. Well, I'm waiting on something for my own house. God sent me to tell you that what you want is available to him. He said no more delays for you. When I've been in my bed in the middle of the night crying, asking for my breakthrough. Because I desire it for you. Because I know that if he does it for you, then he has already did it for me. And I know that what we go through is not going to be long. It's not going to be forever. It seems like it's taking a while. but I'm not going to give up because I am a persistent woman, not widow, and I'm going to keep going for it. To God, for my husband. If every one of y'all forget about him, I'm not going to forget about him. I will be on that floor praying to God, calling down every angel, calling out every demon, fighting until the death of me, but he is going to receive everything that God has for me. I am persistent. I don't have to see the outcome. I don't have to know how it looks. I know that I've been hurting. I know I've been dragged down. I know it's been unbearable. But as sure as I'm standing here to tell you, and I have breath in my body, we will see the miracle that God has ordained for this man of God. It said that those who mount up, it said that they will not faint. They will not fall. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. It may be times where it's hard, but we're still believing.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
And even though we're going through, we're still praying for y'all.
Say that.
We pray every day for what you desire. We sit on our face and fast every morning to ask God to deliver for our church what it is you need. And we just know and believe that God will restore and renew your lives. And everything that you desire will come to pass. And it's not about whether or not we see it come to pass for us first. We don't even care about that.
Amen.
It's all about what God is going to do for you. Because my desire, even outside of him being healed, is to see our church go to the next level.
Yes.
Because God has called us to greater.
Hallelujah.
He hasn't sent for us to stay here and level here. God has so much for this church. He has so much power and authority already in you that he has asked you to let him bring that thing up and not be dormant anymore. He said, let him move in you. He said, let him grow in you. But it's something there that's pressing him down. And he wants to heal it today. He wants it all to be removed today, because I promise you that if you will believe God today, that it doesn't matter how long, it doesn't matter what other people say, because it already said that the world is not looking for him to be revealed. So when you tell them faith things, they can't receive you. They rebuttal things that are opposite, because all they know is the opposite of God. But he said that you keep your eyes on the prize.
Yes.
You keep your eyes on the promise. And as sure as I'm standing here, you will be able to get up and testify about that one thing that was on your paper and beyond that.
Yes.
The overflow is coming and has come to your house today if you will but receive it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It's already available. So those of you, if I can get a basket, if y'all have another basket that you put the offering in. In closing, for those of you that have a right now faith, those of you that have a right now faith that God is moving today.
Amen.
It don't matter what everything looks like. It don't matter if you can see the end or not. If you have a right now faith that God is doing it for you today, put your paper in the basket.
Amen.
And put everything that's been hindering you from receiving it on that paper so we can make sure that that is gone.
Amen.
It's time for us to believe today, church. He didn't give us this word by chance. In fact, through the whole service, we heard bits and pieces of this word. We heard about faith. We heard about no delay. We heard about the victory and what God is doing and the miracles that is available to us. We heard about all those things. And all of it is wrapped up in Jesus. As simple as that. It's all wrapped up in Jesus.
Amen.
So if you have something, and we want the impossible things you've been talking to God about.
Impossible.
We want to believe like that. That he will do it today. But he has done it today. For your life. And I want to invite the ministers of God to come and just stand at the altar with me to pray over these requests. Because God has done it.
Hallelujah.
He has done it.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
He has done it.
Thank you.
If there's anyone that does not know the Lord God for himself or herself, and maybe you have accepted him when you were young and you were baptized and you know that you know him and you've asked him to come into your life, but if there is any doubt in you that you have a relationship with God, we invite you to come here to the altar while we are praying over this basket. We invite you to come because, see, your breakthrough is attached to that.
Amen.
You have to receive him. You have to receive him to receive the promise.
Thank you, Lord.
So it's necessary for you to come and give your life to him and say, yes, Lord, I receive you and believe you. So if that is you today, we want to give you the opportunity to come. And if you're just nervous about coming to the altar, just raise your hand and we'll come to you and we'll pray with you. So that you can believe God today for what you asked him for. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want to go on a prayer, but the Lord is just, he's holding me. I want to just give one more plea to you. So please hear the cry of the Lord. To answer his request for you to come and be a part of his blessing for your life.
Hallelujah.
He wants to bless you, and yes, it is in your obedience in this moment right now that you will have it. I don't know who you are, I don't know your name, but I just plead with you that you will receive God, that you allow him to reveal himself today. In the name of Jesus.